So we left off in Shoftim, Perek Tes, chapter 9. We got all the way up to Pasuk Chos, I would say, but a lot of it we left sort of unexplained, or only partially explained, so we're going to have to go back a little bit. Just a brief summary of what happened at the beginning of the Perek. So, Abimelech, who we were introduced to at the end of the last Perek, who is the son of Gidon from a Pileges, from a concubine. So, after Gidon's death, Gidon had 70 sons, plus Abimelech, and Abimelech sees an opportunity to seize power, and he rallies the people of Shechem, who were where his mother was from. He was related to them, his family, his uncles, and extended family, to his side, and they give him money. He hires mercenaries, assassins, and then they travel to the place where his brothers were. It's called Ophra, and there they slay all 70 sons of Gidon, minus one, the youngest, or a young one, I don't know if he was the youngest, but by the name of Yosam. And in Pasuk Vav,
whose sons did they slay?
Gidon's sons, yeah. So Abimelech kills all of his half-brothers, 69 of them. So in Pasuk Vav, it describes that the people of Shechem, they crown him as king. And in Pasuk Zayin, Vayagidu Yosam, and Yosam is told about this. Yosam was the one remaining son, and he decides he wants to do something about it, and he goes, and he stands on hard reason, and he calls out to the people of Shechem. And he gives a mashal. Mashal begins in Pasuk Ches. He says, Halo chocho ha'itzim limshach alei ha'melech. The trees went to anoint the king. By Yomru Azayas Malka Aleinu, and they told the olive tree, rule over us. By Yomru Lem Azayas, and the olive tree said to them, Hechadaltias Dishni, should I use up my oil? Asher bi yichavdu alokim ba'anashim, which is used to honor Hashem and people. Instead, I should go and just wave myself over you trees. I should go and... Okay, I'm not going to even go into the explanation yet. I'm just going to translate now, because afterwards we'll explain the whole thing. I should go and wave over the trees. And the tree said to the Te'ena, to the fig tree, L'chi at malchi aleinu, go and rule over us. Batomer lematayna, and the fig tree said, Hechadalti es maski, have I used up my sweetness, vestinuvasi atova, and my good fruit, velachti lanu ala itzim, and I should go and wave over the trees, pasuk yedbeiz, vayomer ha itzim lagefen, and the tree said to the grapevine, v'chi at malki aleinu, go and rule over us. Batomer lematayna, and the grapevine said to them, Hechadalti es tiroshi, should I use up my wine, Hamesamech Elokim v'anoshim, which brings joy to Hashem and to people. Alachti lanua aleitzim, and instead I should go wave over the trees. So finally they go to the thorn. Leich atam alach aleinu, you go and rule over us. Nayomer ha'atad alaitzim, and he says, that the thorn says to the trees, if you are truly anointing me as king over you, bo'u chasu b'tzili, come and enjoy my shade, v'im'ayin, and if not, teitzei esh min ha'atad, fire should go forth from the thorn, v'socha las arzei alamono, and it should consume the cedars of Lebanon. And then he goes into the, I wouldn't call it a nimshal, but he basically says that if you've done true with me, if you truly mean to anoint Avimelech, then whom you know, my father fought for you, sacrificed for you, then okay, but if not, then you should be consumed. And we'll get to his we'll do that in a moment. But just in terms of the mashal itself, what's he even referring to? That's the first thing that I want to address. We began speaking about it last week. Yes, because the thorn bush is going to refer to Avimelech. Well, you mean the when Moshe sees the burning bush? Yeah, so there, even there, there was a message in that, that Hashem, Ima Anochi Betzara, I'm with you in the times of pain. The thorn still represents the pain there. No, that was Har Sinai. Har Sinai isn't looked at as a thorny mountain. I'm not sure. Okay. So we mentioned that Rashi gives a bit of an entrance into understanding this, and based on the Medrash, and Rashi says that the olive tree refers to Othniel ben Kenaz, the first shofet, and the fig tree refers to Devorah, and the last tree, the grapevine, refers to Gidon. He gives a reason for each one. Really, the rest of it didn't have so much to do with it. And I guess if you take that approach, then what that approach would be that, look, these people were asked to be king, they turned it down, so obviously, it's not such a good thing to just jump at the chance, at the opportunity to be the king. But the Abarbanel quotes this chat of Rashi, and he has a problem with it. Says, what do you mean they were asked to be king? They weren't asked to be king. Where do we find that they were asked to be king? Now, his question is a little bit of a strange way that he asks his question, because he asks about all three when Gidon was asked to be king explicitly in the last parak, parak Ches. Rule over us. You should rule over us. So it seems that he was asked to be king. So why is the Abarbanel asking in Rashi that we don't find that they were asked to be king? So it happens to be that this may be the Abarbanel, which is also according to his reasoning, because the Abarbanel actually writes that, and there may be serious contradictions in the Abarbanel, but the Abarbanel writes that in one place that they weren't asking Gidon to be king here, they were only asking him to be the shofet. Other Mefarshim seem to understand that they were actually asking him to be king. He turned it down. But the Abarbanel, at least in one place, learns that they were asking him to be the shofet, that he wasn't the shofet up till then, and they were asking Gidon to be the shofet. So if he assumes like that, so then he can ask about all three, Othniel, Devorah, and Gidon. What are you talking about, Rashi? We don't find that he was ever asked. We don't find that Gidon was ever asked to be king. So, fine. So he goes and gives a different approach to this mashal. The Abarbanel explains that you first, when you, if you want to find a king, so you first have to go to the people who are the best for the job, the most fit for the job. And the first place to go is somebody who's from an honorable family, someone with yichus. That's where you have to start. And if you don't find that, then you go to at least someone who is wealthy. That the very fact that somebody is wealthy shows that he has, you know, Hashem, I guess, looks upon him as somebody who's fit to be in a high position of a you know, in a comfortable position like that. And that's why Trump has been so successful. And number three is that if you can't find that, then you want to find someone. It's an interesting order, but you want to find someone who brings joy to people, who's happy, is good midos, and and then if you can't find any of that, maybe then you should go to someone who doesn't have any of that. I agree. But he says that's what's described here. He's saying what you should have done. You should have gone first to the olive tree. The olive tree represents someone with yichus. Right? It floats to the top. The oil floats to the top. It lasts a long time without being destroyed. It's honorable, and that's why, and it's something used to honor people, honor Hashem with the menorah, honor people. So it would have been proper to use the to ask the olive tree first, to ask someone with yichus. If you can't find that, then you should have gone to the fig. The fig represents, he says, the fig tree well. That's why he doesn't mention by the fig that it brings honor or that it brings joy. No, he said it just represents wealth. The good fruit it mentions by the fig tree, it says, Nuvasi Atova, my good fruit. And after that, they go to the Geffen, to the grapevine, which represents people who are happy and make others happy. And that's right, like it says, Mitzameach Elokim HaNasim, that it brings joy to Hashem and to people. And only after that, will you go to the thorn, to the lowliest. It doesn't have any of these mailos, doesn't have any of this. It doesn't have yichus, it doesn't have honor. It doesn't have fruit, it's not rich, and it doesn't bring joy to people. Rather, the opposite, it makes people sad, it pokes them, it pains them. And he says, not necessarily. I'm not sure, I wouldn't think of a thorn as a... people who are humble are not thorns, right? They don't poke people and make them bleed. So all this, he says, was a mashal for Gidon's other sons, that they had all these qualities. Why, he's telling the people of Shechem, did you choose Abimelech as your king and you killed all the other sons? They were filled with all these qualities. They had yichus, they came from Gidon, but then they weren't from a Pileges, they were from proper mothers, were married to Gidon. It doesn't sound like it, just in general. They were wealthy, right? They had the wealth of their father, and I guess, I'm not sure why Abimelech wouldn't have, but we see that he needs money. He's given money by the people of Shem in order to pay for hiring the mercenaries who killed the brothers. So, so obviously Abimelech did not really have any wealth, and they were of good midos, it says, And Elimelech was the opposite of this. Obviously, he didn't have good midos before he did get all his brothers killed. So, now, and again, it wasn't saying that the Eitzim, the muscle wasn't saying that you actually, that the Eitzim actually went and asked all these other people. It was saying that you should have gone and asked all these people. You should have gone and asked the people with the ichus, the people with the wealth, the people with the good midos. That's who you should have asked. But what? No, they went. They went and they gave him money to have the brothers killed. So they were accomplices in killing all the brothers. So he goes on. Again, I'm reading from the Abarbanel. The Abarbanel in general is very lengthy. So he sort of repeats and goes back, and so he's saying that you should have gone to them. Now, if you had gone to them, then surely they would have refused you anyways. But you still should have asked them, because it's not something that to be a king is not something that, you know, somebody would want. If they have good qualities, they would have to give all that up. A king is really just a servant of the people, and therefore each of these different, you know, the olive tree who had honor and honored people would turn it down, and the wealthy person would turn it down because he would lose his wealth. He would have to, or he would lose the right to use it. He would be just involved in the needs of the kingship the whole time, and the wine as well, which brought simcha, also would have to, you know, stop bringing simcha, would lose its happiness because it would be too involved in ruling, and they would have to go and wave over the trees, meaning serve all the people instead, and that wasn't, they would have turned you down. That too, right. I mean, it wasn't.
Yes, but only in a proper time.
Yeah, that's true. But that wasn't what he was saying, but that is true, that it wasn't yet time for a king of Israel. And he points out a diuk that the first time around it didn't say lechi'at, you should go. Go to Pasuk Ches. So just says, and they said to the Zayas, they said to the olive tree, Malko Leinu, rule over us. But then later, when they go to the fig tree, it says in Yud, to Pesukim later, Lechi'at Malko Leinu, you should go and rule over us. And then again, in Pasuk Yedbeis, to Pesukim later, when they go to the grapevine, it says Lechi'at, go and rule over us. And so the Barbanel says that once they heard the response of the olive tree, that no, it's like, or once they would hear it, because it's all hypothetical, but once you would hear the response of the olive tree that, you know, I don't want to give up what I have to go and rule over you, to go and wave over you and serve you, so then they understood that it was, you know, there was sacrifice involved in becoming a king, so they were saying, Lechi'at, go anyways, you know, get yourself up and go and do this, understanding that this was a sacrifice. You'll be giving something up, Lechi'at, go and do it anyways. But they would still be turned down. That's what Yosem was saying. Yosem said, even still, if you would have asked each of these types of people, the one with ichus, the one with wealth, or the one with simcha, you would have been turned down. And so his point was that people who are proper, people who have something, aren't going to choose to be the king, and only the lowest, most disgraceful would choose to be the king, and so therefore, right, and chase after the right to rule. And that was the thorn, that was Avimelech, who you decided to choose. And that, he's saying, was the wrong decision. Obviously, if he's chasing after the kingship, then he's not someone that you should want to be your king. And that was his muscle. And then in the explanation of it, Yosem continues in Pasuk Tes Zayin, the Ata, and now in the Emet of the Salim Asisem, Batamuicha Sadimelech, if you did this out of truth and out of wholesomeness, purity, you meant it. Din Tova Asisem in Yerubalvin Beso, and if you meant this as a good deed towards Yerubal and his house, Din Kigmul Yadav Asisem, along you're doing this as a reward or in honor of him. Asher Nocham Avi Aleichem, that my father Gidon fought on your behalf. Vayasech es nafsho mineged, and he sacrificed himself. Vayatzel eschem yad Midyan, he saved you from Midyan. So he's saying, if you were doing it out of my father's honor, even though obviously you're crooked and you don't really understand how the world works, and it can't be an honor for him after you killed all his other sons, but if you really had that intent, then okay. Right, even though in Yuvchez he says, V'atem kamtem al beis avi hayom, and you got up against my father's house today, V'atahargo es banav shivim ish al eden echos, and you killed his sons, all 70 of them, minus himself who's talking, Yosam, you killed all 70 of them on one stone, V'atam lichos avimelech v'ramoso abal eishchem, and you anointed Avimelech, his maidservant's son, over Shem, ki achichem hu, and you did it out of your own, seemingly out of your own need, because he's your brother, he's your relative, you wanted him to take care of you. However, vim be'emes uvesalim asisem in yirbal vim beso hayom hazeh, but if it was really, you had good intentions, and you did it for the honor of Gidon, simchu b'Avimelech, take joy in Avimelech, v'yismach gam hu b'chem, and he should rejoice over you. Dim'ayin, but if not, if you didn't do this with good intentions, teitzei eish mei Avimelech, a fire should come forth from Avimelech, v'tochal es ba'alei Shem v'esteis milo, and it should consume the people of Shem and of Beis Milo, v'teitzei eish mei ba'alei Shem, and a fire should come forth from ba'alei Shem, umi Beis Milo, v'tochal es Avimelech, and it should consume Avimelech, and we're going to see that that's in fact what happened. I mean, it's not a literal fire, but even though they anointed Avimelech, they're going to quickly turn on him, and it's going to turn into a civil war. Now, to address your point, I'm just saying right now, I was reading it, I believe how the Abarbanel read it, that they were honest, he was honestly giving them a chance. Like, you know, if you really meant it, that would be okay.
I know I'm jumping in the middle here, but what they anointed
Avimelech.
But after some kind of fight, there was
Gidon died. He left 70 sons, and he seized power basically, and had hired mercenaries, and had all of his 69 of the 70 brothers killed. One of them escaped, and that's the brother who's talking now, who's addressing all the people. And right, so others read it. Others read this psukim as completely rhetorical, that he's saying, had it been this way, had you done the right thing, then I would be able to accept it, but obviously that's not what you did. But even then, you have to read it. Right, so it's the Metudas David reads it that way. He says Ratzo Lomar, what he means to say is V'chi, and did you do good? Did you do truth? Did you do this? No, you didn't, and therefore, you know what's going to happen. You're going to get destroyed. Just a side point here. Very, very Derech Agav. So in Pasuk Tezayin, Yosam says, Dim Tova Asisem im Yerubal vim Beso. If you did good with Yerubal and with his house. Now, Yerubal was his father. So how could Yosam say his father's name? Now, luckily, you're not allowed to say your father's name. So, how could he use his father's name? So, Rabbi Yaakov Kamenetsky, he asked this question by, in Parshas, by Yechi, where the Medrash says that when Yaakov gathered his sons around him, they said to him, he said he was going to reveal the case of Mashiach, the time of Mashiach, and then he lost it, he lost the Ruach HaKodesh, and he said, oh, maybe somebody here has some sort of blemish, and they respond, Shema Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. Listen, Yisrael, Hashem Elokeinu, Hashem Echad. There's no blemish here, we all believe in one God. And he says, Baruch Shem, and that's what the Gemara says occurred when he gathered his son. So, asked Yaakov Kamenetsky, how could they say to their father, listen, Yisrael, that's they're talking to him. How could they say Shema Yisrael?
That looks a little different, isn't it?
Why?
Because Yaakov has several names.
Oh, so very good. So,
and you could interpret it as the children of Israel.
Well, no, because here, there, they're actually talking to him.
Yeah,
they're
but,
saying,
you know, it could also
listen, Yisrael.
It could be a double entendre, how do you say.
Okay, so Rabbi Yaakov answers that actually you're allowed to say your father's name when it's a shame of kavod, when it's giving, when it's not his main name, his private name, it's a name that's given to him as a honor to him, then you'll be allowed to say it. And so Yaakov's name was Yaakov. Hashem gave him the name Yisrael, was like a shame of kavod, a shame of honor. So that you're allowed to say. And he says that's what's happening over here also. That Yosem says, Yerubal, Yerubal is Gidon. Gidon was his name. He was given the name Yerubal. Some, you know, it had a negative connotation by some of the people who said, like, oh, you're fighting against the Baal, but also a positive connotation. He was the one who fought the Baal, who fought the idol, the Baal. And it was a name of honor, and so therefore, it was, it says of Yaakov, it was mutter for him to use.
Is this going to end where he gets hit on the head with a...
Yes. With something, with a piece of a millstone, yes. Good. So, in Pasuk Yotes, where again they repeat this idea of the Imbe'emes, the Samim Asisem, Yosem says if you did true, and you were wholesome with the Yerubal and with his household, you should rejoice with Avimelech, and he should rejoice with you. So there the Metzudas David learned that he was saying, right, at first Metzudas David took the approach that you prefer, which was like, did you do this? Were you honorable? No, you weren't. And here he's saying, and even with all this, if maybe at the beginning you meant evil, and when you killed all the B'nai Gidon, all the children of Gidon, maybe then you meant evil. But if today, when you now are going to anoint Avimelech as king, maybe you'll say that was for the honor of Gidon in the end. So he said, then, if that's really true, so then maybe then, you know, you could get away with it. You should rejoice with Avimelech, he should rejoice with you, right? If you did tshuva, changed your ways, and now you realize the folly of your ways, you shouldn't have killed the first 70, but now at least you'll honor Gidon by anointing his son. So then, fine, then simchu b'Avimelech, dang it, you should rejoice with Avimelech, and when he says if not, then you should destroy each other. Chaf Aleph, Vayonos Yosam. And Yosam fled, Vayivrach, and he fled. So Targum here says Vayonos actually means Ta'apech, and he turned. And he turned, and Yosam turned, Vayivrach, and he fled. Vayelech Be'era, and he went through Be'er, Vayeshev Sham, and he settled there. Yipnei Avimelech, Achiv Agapir of his brother Abimelech, he went and I guess hid himself away in this place. Chafez Vayasar Abimelech al Yisrael Shaloshanim. And Abimelech ruled over Eretz Yisrael, ruled over Yisrael for 3 years. And then begins the civil war. Now, if you look back at Pasuk, The Mishpatot Zav. He quotes a lot of different commentaries.
Kind of like a collection.
Yeah, that's where I get a lot of what I say from. I'm looking for a pasuk. I'm looking on the wrong page. Oh, here. In pasuk Yud Ches. So in pasuk Yud Ches, it says, You got up, you killed my brothers. And it says, Batam lichlus avimelech ben amosah ba'alei Shechem. And you anointed him over the people of Shechem. In our pasuk Chafez, says, Vayosar avimelech al Yisrael shalosh anim. And Avimelech ruled over Yisrael for 3 years. So at first it just mentions Shechem, and now it mentions that he ruled over all of Israel. So the mashma, the implication here is that he actually ruled all of Klal Yisrael. Okay, let's hold that. Let's hold on to that thought for a few more pesukim. Pasuk Chaf Gimel, Vayishlach Elokim Ruach Ra'a Bein Avimelech Uvein Baalei Shechem. And Hashem sent a Ruach Ra, a bad spirit, between Avimelech and the people of Shechem. Contention, hate, Vayivgadu Baalei Shechem Avimelech, and they rebelled against Avimelech. Rabo Chamash Shivim Bnei Yerubal, and Hashem did this to come as for the violence against the 70 sons of Yerubal, the Damam and their blood, Rasamal Avimelech Achim Asher Haragosim, to place it on Avimelech, their brother who killed them, the Abale Shechem, and on the people of Shechem, Asher Chizku Es Yadav L'Arogezachav, who strengthened his hand, who gave him what he needed in order to kill his son. Pasuk is explaining that that's why Hashem planted this. What's that? His brothers, yeah, to kill his. Rabbi Melech, to kill his brothers. That's why Hashem put this contention, put this hate between Shechem and Avimelech. This is a response to punishment for what they did. And they placed, and the people of Shechem placed ambushers on top of the mountain in order to ambush Avimelech if he would pass by. And while they were up there, they needed supplies, so they would rob anyone who passed by. And Avimelech was told of this, so, or two reasons in the Farshim give why they would steal, or two causes. One is they needed food, they were hiding out to ambush, but they needed supplies. And secondly, just that's what happens when you rebel and there's anarchy and you reject the ruler, so then you end up with bandits and the like. But you got Avimelech, right? Avimelech is told about this. He's told that there's people trying to ambush you, and therefore he didn't travel those roads, he stayed away from Shechem. The Malbim points out it was only because they ambushed people, why they robbed people. That's what Avimelech found out. If they would have just, you know, kept to their job and waited until Avimelech would pass by, eventually it would happen and they would have gotten him. But they didn't. Rather, they settled to become bandits, and the word got out, and that's what Avimelech found out about this. And avoided passing there. And again, Malbim says this was all in order for the civil war to play out, and for Avimelech, we need him to consume them and them to consume him, as was predicted by Yosam, that a fire would come from Avimelech and consume them, and the fire would come from them and consume Avimelech. So we can't just have Avimelech snuffed out in an assassination. So this, he says, was Hashem guiding event to ensure a real head-on war where both would both would fall. Pasuk chaf vav. Vayavo Gaal ben Eved ve'echav vayavru b'shem. Gaal ben Eved and his brothers came and they passed through Shem. Vayivtichu bo ba'al Shem. And the people of Shem trusted them. They put their trust in him. Who was this Gaal ben Eved? Rashi says he was from a different nation. And so according to that, it sounds like Eved was a name. Father's name is Eved. That's what, if he was from a different nation, then it sounds like that would Rashi understands it was just a name. I think others learned that he wasn't, that he was the son of a slave. I'm not sure. I didn't really see much of that. Again, though, the Mabim points out Hashem is arranging events, guiding events for everything to fall into place for them to destroy each other. No. Rashi just says, Me'uma acheres hayam. He was from a different nation. Says, Pasuk Chav Zayin, Vayetsu asada, and they went out to the field, Vayitru et Karmeyem, Vayidruchu, and they harvested their vines and their vineyards, Vayidruchu, and they trampled the grapes, they made it into wine, Vayasu hilulim, and they made celebrations, Vayavo beis Elohim, and they came to the houses of their gods, Vayochu, Vayishtu, and they ate and they drank, Vayikalus Avimelech, and they cursed Avimelech. Now with Gaal ben Eved here, they got a new confidence that they could fight Avimelech. At first they were afraid to go out to the field.
So this is the resident, Jewish residents of Shem.
Yes.
Getting drunk and cavorting.
Who are also Ovdei Avodah Zarah.
They were Ovdei Avodah Zarah, and they were being led by someone who's not even Jewish.
He may have been Jewish. I'm not sure. I saw someone who wants to say he is Jewish. Even Rashi learns that he was Jewish, but he was still from a different nation.
He's now rebelling against.
He's leading the rebellion, yeah. And he's about to really step up to lead it.
But they're doing a little celebration.
They're happy that they can finally leave the city, go to their field, and just show that, you know, we don't care about you, Avimelech. You can't hurt us. At first they were afraid. They were holed up in the city. Now they felt strong enough to leave, and they did, and they celebrated that.
Were they sort of under siege before you moved?
I mean, they had rebelled, but they kind of announced, I guess, that they were, you know, they were no longer under. We'll see it shortly. Avnelis didn't live in Shem. He had someone who he had put in charge, and they, I guess, you know, they announced the rebellion, but they stayed in the city because they didn't want to go out to challenge Avimelech at that point. Pasuk Chafres, Vayomer Gaal ben Eved, and Gaal said, Mi Avimelech umi Shem? Who is this Avimelech? And who are you? Ki na'avdenu, that we should serve him. Halo ben Yerubal, who's Zvul Pekido, he's the son of Yerubal, and Zevul, who's his Pekid, who he's put in charge of the city. We'll explain in a moment a number of different approaches to this pasuk. Ividu es anshei chamor avishchem, served the people of Chamor, the father of Shem, umadua na avdenu anachnu, why should we serve him? So what is he saying? Mi Avimelech umi Shem. Rashi learns, who is this Avimelech that he should rule over Shem? And who's Shem that we should have to serve him? Halo ben Yerubal. Is he Yerubal himself? He's the son of Yerubal. He's the son of Gidon. It was Gidon who saved you. He's just the son. Uzvul Pekido and Zvul, who he's put in charge of the city, you know, that's even less, there's no reason to serve him. If you're going to tell me that we should serve him because he's the son of somebody important, right? He's the son of Gidom. So then we should serve the descendants of Hamor. Hamor was Avi Shechem. He was the ruler of Shechem back in the time of Yaakov. And let's serve his descendants. If being a descendant of someone important matters, so let's serve his descendants. I don't know if they were actually around or if he was just saying this, you know. I can't imagine they were around. The city was destroyed. But there may have been descendants, but I think he was just making his point. And Madua Nabdenu Anachnu, why should we serve them? Meaning, okay, I understand maybe you'll say that our fathers, you know, have a debt to Gidom, he saved them. So that's good for our fathers, but we're the next generation already. What debt do we have to Gidom that we should serve him or serve his son? Which is really, you know, not really the proper outlook, I think, that, you know. Even Lahotia Kalish Baruch Las Avoseinu, right? We say, if Hashem hadn't taken us out, then we would still be slaves, right? So he didn't really have that attitude. The previous generation was saved, okay, they have a debt, but we, the fact that we're here because of that, that didn't seem to bother him. He said, why? What? Right, he's saying, why should we? He's throwing himself in there, but he means them even. So that's the Rashian, which is a Sovet approach. The Malbim has an interesting reading of this pasuk. He has a number of different explanations, but one is particularly interesting. The Malbim says that, as we mentioned, Avimelech was the son of a Pileges, right? The son of a concubine. He wasn't a regular son of Gidom. So the Malbim says that, first of all, like we mentioned, similar to what we mentioned, that although he's saying, Mi Avimelech Umi Shechem, we read it, who's Avimelech and who are the people of Shechem that you should serve Avimelech? The Malbim has a reading that says, who's Avimelech? And then he calls him Shechem. He calls Avimelech Shechem in reference to, again, Shechem ben Hamor from the days of Yaakov Avinu, saying, like, just because he's like Shechem, he's the son of a leader, but that doesn't make him, you know, deserving of leadership. Who is he? Who is this guy? And then he really insults him. He says, Halo ben Yerubal Zvul Pekido. He's the son of Yerubal and Zvul. What does it mean, he's the son of Yerubal and Zvul? Again, before we read it, you know, he's just the son of Yerubal. And also, and Zvul, the leader of the city, the person appointed to take charge of the city, he's also nothing. Two separate, you know, things. The Malbim has a reading that says, he's the son of Gidom and Yerubal. Meaning that, as we said, he was the son of a Pilegesh. A Pilegesh is Mizaneh. A Pilegesh behaves inappropriately. And I don't know if he knew this or he was just saying this. He was saying, you know, for all we know, he could be, or he is, possibly the son of Zvul, the leader of the city, of Shechem. We don't even know for sure that he's the son of Gidom. He's a Suffolk. We don't even know. He's the son of one. He's like the son of both of them, because we don't know whose son he is. He's the son of Gidom. He's the son of Zvul. Halo ben Yerubal Zvul Pekido. He's the son of both. He's a lowlife. He's not someone that we should choose as our leader. And therefore, why should we serve him? Umiyiteng asa'am azeh biyadi, who will give this nation into my hands, and then put me in charge, the asiras Avimelech, I will lead you in removing Avimelech, vayomer Avimelech, and he said to Avimelech, he said to the people, tell Avimelech, or he told Zebul, tell Avimelech, rabbet va'acha va'teya, gather your troops and come out to meet me. Come out to battle. I think we'll leave it right there.